Welcome to the DDT Archives. I'm your host, Chris. With me, as always, my tag team partner in podcasting, my best friend, everyone's best friend, Greg. What's going on, Greg?
What's up? We have a guest in the Indie Lounge today. Who's with us?
Hey!
One of the top East Coast independent wrestlers, Anthony Henry. Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you guys for having me on.
It's our pleasure, buddy. Oh, thank you.
Absolutely our pleasure. So I want to start this off down a rabbit hole that you started and you don't realize you started it. What's okay. The correct answer to the favorite sushi roll?
Oh, man. See, okay, so I'm not going to go into a long backstory, but let me go ahead and preface this with telling you guys that I'm probably less than 6 months in on this whole sushi thing because I was never a fan of seafood. I always hated it. Like, would not eat fish. The only fish I would eat is, like, canned tuna, you know? I finally, like, started being more adventurous with my food adventures. And my friends took me to a sushi place, tried some sushi. I was like, okay, it's not bad. Not bad turned in, this is good. This is good turned in, this is fantastic. This is my favorite thing ever, and I'm going to have it, like, 3 times a week. So there's that. Now, as far as what I actually like, I'll eat just about any sushi there is, honestly. I eat nigiri, I'll eat sashimi itself, just the raw fish, any of the rolls. Now, my favorite ones are definitely the deep fried rolls. That's probably mostly everybody's favorite. Those are the worst for you, obviously. So if you want to be a little bit more healthy, I try to get, you know, more tuna rolls and just regular plain rolls. But if I'm going in like on a sushi buffet, which happens fairly often, I just grab everything. I like dragon rolls. I like the volcano rolls, Las Vegas rolls, any of the shrimp tempura type rolls. I like any of those. So I don't have a direct answer, but those are pretty much the ones that I like. Yeah.
Those are the right answers. I'm a dragon roll guy and shrimp tempura. The only problem is I have to spend like $70 to get full when I eat sushi. It's ridiculous.
Well, I've had a couple of really good times at sushi buffets. So one time I went to Florida and we went on vacation and we found a place that was an all-you-can-eat sushi place. And I put away, 68 pieces of sushi? So it was like 8 rolls total. Plus I had hibachi. Plus I had matcha ice cream, tempura banana, some wontons, and some other stuff. So I spent $20, and I probably ate, I don't even know, $100, $150 worth of sushi. Same thing happens when I go to my local place, Izumi. It's like something like $20. And it's just all you can eat, and it's really good stuff, and I put away a lot there, too. So I get my money's worth out of it.
I'm anything spicy. I'll eat whatever. If it's got, like, the hottest sauce imaginable on it, I am right there. And it's funny because, like my wife and I were just talking because, like, as things starting to open up, and I made a sushi crack the other day, and she's like, I would give anything to go to our favorite sushi place. Like, I proposed to her there. Like, we go there all the time. I was like, oh, we put away a sushi boat. They literally have a wooden boat that they carry out that's got, like, you could probably put it away by yourself, dude. But she's like, oh, she's pregnant, so she can't eat it. So she was just like, oh, my God. She's like, don't even start. Don't even go there. I'm just like.
That's funny because my sister-in-law, just recently had a baby, and it was the same thing, right? So she wasn't eating any kind of sushi or anything like that. We, after she had the baby, we went to a sushi place and we got some. And that first bite, I watched her, and she just goes, she takes the bite of like a pink lady, I think it was, and she just goes, oh, like it was the best thing ever. So yeah, I definitely. Now another one that I'd bring up in contention, if you like sweet potato. The sweet potato roll, like, is a tempura type roll, but it no fish, obviously, anything in it, but it is fantastic. I ate like 3 of those that day I went to Florida. I just kept getting it.
Exactly what I was going to ask you, if you've ever had a sweet potato roll, if you were a sweet potato guy. That was my next question, so man.
So good. Yeah, so good. Actually, my brother-in-law's brother I talked him into getting one that same day that we went. My sister-in-law had you know, her first piece since the pregnancy, and he got a sweet potato roll. He took a bite, and apparently he's really picky. He's like, I don't know about this. He took another bite, like, you don't want it, do you? So I ended up getting an extra sweet potato roll, and I was so happy.
Big win.
Yeah.
Us being in New York, I don't know if I trust sushi buffets up here. Like, yeah. Down south, I you know, I could trust the seafood. I don't know.
Dude, Chocho-san, Nanuet, man, all you can eat. It's the tits.
I mean, to me, like, if you order sushi, because sushi can be pretty expensive sometimes, mm-hmm. all you can eat places are the way to go, because you're going to get your money's worth. Now, if you go and if you're able to just get one or two rolls and fine, do that. That's cool. But like, I can't personally do that, so I have to go to like an all you can eat. So I know I get my money's worth out of it.
Yeah, the place I'm telling Chris about is local for us, and it's like in New York, and it's like they literally give you a pencil and like three pads, and you just be like, exactly. And you just check off what you want, and you hand it to the guy. The only thing is, like, their only rule is you can't take anything home, so it's like some sort of weird war of attrition where you have to finish it before you leave, so you can't like over order, but.
Yep.
It's legit, and they have like hibachi there too. We've been there a couple times, man. It's reasonable. It's always like amazing. Yeah, it used to be a bar we hung out at like back in the day, and it became a sushi place like recently. It's great.
Which bar was it?
What? Chocho's? It used to be Cornerstone. It used to be 40s by Nanuet Restaurant. We're talking.
So instead of wings, now we're getting sushi. All right, yeah. I'm with it.
We're talking about places Anthony will never go to.
I mean, you never know.
The key for me is they have to have the hibachi, because my wife won't eat seafood.
Yeah, they have the hibachi.
My wife doesn't eat sushi at all. She tried it. She doesn't like it. Hibachi has to be there. It says all she'll eat.
I'm going to have to check that out. Thank you, Greg. Hey, appreciate it. Every once in a while, you carry the show. Let's talk a little bit. The other thing you mentioned was animals. Dog guy, cat guy, weird, like, tiger guy. I don't know.
Definitely more of a dog guy. I feel like, I don't know, cats are very temperamental. They do their own thing. They love you when they want to love you. And dogs are, you know, just a little bit, they're more lovable and loyal. So I'm definitely more of a dog person. But yeah, I like, I'm really into, like, I don't own any, obviously, but like exotic animals. I'm really into like predators. Like, I know a weird amount of information about like just sharks and like, you know, like just various predators. That, I don't know, it's always been an interest for me. So things like that, like, I really want to own a raccoon really badly. I don't know, I'm weird like that. Things like
I'll catch one in my yard for you. I, you know, I grew up watching Shark Week, so I love the sharks as well. What's your favorite of them?
Definitely a great white. I mean, that's everybody's favorite, and that's kind of like the answer, but I like those, and I like Mako sharks. Those are two pretty cool ones.
I like the bull shark because it can go in both fresh and salt water.
That's true. That is pretty scary, actually, if you think about it.
Greg, stop judging me for having so much useless knowledge.
This is a judge-free zone.
There was a place where like some like animals were getting snatched up. I saw a documentary on it. It was like. I feel like it was like in Europe somewhere. They're like maybe Ireland or something. I don't know. But they come to find out, they were like, it was like a freshwater, just like a, I don't know what it was, but a lake or something. But come to find out, there were bull sharks in there. They were staying in there. So they were coming from the ocean, came into the water, and they were taking up these animals, eating them.
Why leave if you can have a free meal? It makes
true. I mean, that's true.
My dog's actually named after Megalodon.
Hell so, yeah. That's really cool.
So the backstory on that is, so when my wife and I started dating, the Discovery Channel did that fake documentary on the Megalodon, and we watched the whole thing. Now, I knew it was all fake. She thought it was real until she read the bottom of the screen. And she's like, when we get a dog, I'm naming it Megalodon because Megalodon is real. And I'm like, all right, we're not going to get a dog. Sure enough, my bulldog is now Megalodon Dynamite. Happens, we know the 47th.
Yes. Technically, Megalodons were real.
They were real. They're just not currently there, thankfully.
Right.
I think that could be a disaster waiting to happen.
That would be pretty bad.
So, Greg, should we go to wrestling now?
Yeah, whatever you want. We can talk about more sea life, edible and non-edible. It doesn't matter. We can go wherever you want, man.
Hey, man, if you get me started on food, I'll talk about food all day.
You can talk about food. All right,
so what other food?
What's your go-to?
You ain't scaring me talking about food.
Nah. Okay, so for me right now, I'm doing a photo shoot in like 3 weeks. And I also told you like fitness is like a big thing for me. And so it's kind of like, sounds like it'd be like almost like, you know, two separate ends of the spectrum. But it's not at all. It's actually, for me, it's all one big thing. So yeah, fitness is a big thing for me. So like in 3 weeks, I'm doing this fitness photo shoot. And so I'm really cutting down really hard, and calories are low and stuff like that. And food is always on my mind. So I'm pretty much nonstop on YouTube watching competitive eaters and, you know, just guys doing these crazy cheat meals and all this stuff, and or making recipes, or I'm on Pinterest looking at recipes that I can make that are actually like calorie friendly, so I can make them, but they taste awesome. Like, food is pretty much on my mind 24/7. And I come up with some pretty crazy concoctions just to get through the days. When I get out of this and I'm done with this photo shoot, because I recently did 10,000 calories, like I did the 10,000 calorie challenge, if you will, like 3-4 weeks ago, because I did one photo shoot, did the challenge, and then now I set up for another one. So I kind of shot myself in the foot on that one. But I'll do this photo shoot, and then the plan is to eat another big meal, and it might be sushi again. I'm not sure yet. Might be sushi or maybe pizza. I don't know. Maybe both.
Sushi pizza.
Maybe sushi on pizza.
Hey, sushi on pizza. Yeah, go for it.
I mean, why not? They put everything else on it now,
that's true.
I saw a picture recently, and it was sushi shaped like pizza. So they made it look like pepperoni, and it was like it had like roe on it or whatever. I don't know how they did it. It was phenomenal. I would eat the shit out of that. Like, I don't know.
I definitely would.
Right?
Give it to me. Yeah, we can talk about wrestling now if you want to, though, because like I said, like I'll get on a tangent. I'll talk about nothing but sushi for the entire hour. So if you want to start talking about wrestling and things that the people listening to this podcast might care about, you know.
So we have this rule. We love our listeners, but it's our podcast.
Yeah.
So if we want to talk sushi for an hour, we'll talk sushi for an hour. At the end of the day, we want to show the persona and the person, and we build better bonds by talking about the person. Like, they just from our experience, that's where we like going.
That makes sense. And these days, let's face it, with everything that's going on, wrestling hasn't really been that much on my mind. More so, food has been on my mind. So,
yeah,
that's an easy one.
With the lifting and the training, how much cardio do you have to do when you're taking in a 10,000 calorie meal?
See, so here's the thing about that: is consistency is gonna trump everything, right? So one day, even at 10,000 calories, is really not going to do that much damage. It's going to be more so taking in, you know, a surplus of calories for an extended period of time. There's actually some research done. I'm really big into science, too, so especially when it comes to fitness and science. There's a guy named Jeff Nippard who is a YouTuber and a scientist, and he did some research on it. He did the 10,000-calorie challenge. He tested his body fat before. The day after, and then the day after that, also checked like his BMR or his TDE, which is basically, you know, how many calories you need to stay where you're at in a day. So maintenance calories, and that goes up and down based off your metabolic rate, and, you know, body fat levels and such. And at 10,000 calories, he estimated that you, at the most, on the high end, you might could gain a quarter of a pound in that one day. But then, like, it's so easy to lose body fat compared to gaining muscle. So you could literally be on a diet for a week and you would probably lose more than a pound. You know what I mean? So you'd get rid of that 0.25 pounds plus more in a week. So it'd be gone. And usually, just from experience, I've done several of these days, not necessarily 10,000 calories, but 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 calories on cheat days sometimes here and there. And after about 3 days, I'm generally back about the weight I started at. So it really doesn't impact you that much as you would think. Most people think, oh, you eat 10,000 calories, I'll be fat the next day. You'll be bloated. You'll have a lot of water weight from the salt and the extra carbs, which will take up some space in your muscles and fat cells. But yeah, you'll lose that relatively quickly and you'll be back to normal. Now, you go eat 10,000 calories 3, 4, 5 days in a week. Yeah, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be messing yourself up. But
are you a sweets guy also?
Yes, very much so.
What's your go-to?
Cheesecake.
Nice. That's a great answer.
New York or Italian?
I think I like, the New York style, just like the regular, though. Because, like, okay, so when I eat sweets, I try to be a donut guy, right? I try because they look so good. They look like you see donuts on the internet or whatever. You see people eating donuts. Krispy Kreme comes out with these nice, pretty donuts. They look very good, right? But generally, when I go and eat a bunch of donuts, like after I have one or two, they just taste the same. It just tastes like a bunch of sugar. It's too sweet for me. And that's why I like cheesecake, because cheesecake has kind of like a tart to it. It's not as sweet, right? I was actually very disappointed when I did that 10,000 calories a few weeks ago. The last thing I ate was the Cheesecake Factory cheesecakes, like that you buy in the grocery store, the sampler pack. And I had never had Cheesecake Factory cheesecake. And I ate it and I was like, oh man, what is this? This is like this ultra sweet, like whips, it had whipped cream on it. And I was just like, yeah, I was very disappointed. But generally, yeah, cheesecake. I make a lot of protein cheesecakes that are like calorie friendly. I eat those all the time. And it kind of satisfies, you know, that sweet tooth for the cheesecake. Not as good, of course, because it's not a full fat, like, you know, cheesecake, but it does the trick.
It's funny. My cousin texted us, like a big group text, like the whole family. She's doing something for grad school, and she texted us all what our favorite dessert was. And to hear all the different answers was kind of hilarious to me because they were just all over the place. And my first thing, Chris, you'll go with me on this, is tiramisu. I can eat tiramisu, like, every day.
I love tiramisu, too.
Oh, it's awesome.
I was trying to figure out how to make it, actually. And I can't find Ladyfingers anywhere around here. Oh, man. But I want to make, like, I kind of want to make, like, a protein version of one, a little bit more calorie-friendly, because I really like tiramisu. Oh, when I get them, like, at the Hibachi, they have those little square little desserts that are, like, kind of like tiramisu. I love those things.
The diner near us, it's, like, in the bakery case, it's... I got a piece once, and I thought it was just going to be like a little. It was a brick. It was like a brick of tiramisu. It was like the size of like a DVD case. I'm like, what am I going to eat this for? Like, how am I going to eat this? I did. It was daunting.
Yeah, man. To me, that would just be heaven, though. Like,
oh, it was the best.
Because when I go in on food, I go in like it's a ravenous.
I'm an ice cream guy myself.
Ice cream.
It's my,
I like ice cream, but it not my fave, but I like it.
See, I'm big on, because I'm trying to watch my stuff and, like, cut out, like, the dairy and the bread and things like that. And it's just, I have, like, the dairy. I know it's not good because it's still got all the sugar in it, but, like, the dairy-free ice creams, they make it pretty good. Edible, if you're trying to, like, just at least, like, try and watch out what you're eating.
Yeah, I mean, like, so some of that, like Halo Tops, even the ones that are, I mean, they have dairy in it, but yeah, I don't stay away from dairy. I probably eat more dairy than almost anything, because I eat a lot of Greek yogurt. I eat a lot of cottage cheese. That cheese in general, fat-free cheeses and stuff. So, yeah, I eat a lot of dairy, but the Halo Tops are not bad. Like the low-fat, just like lower light ice creams or whatever, they're pretty good.
Ben and Jerry's dairy-free is legit.
I haven't tried any of those yet.
They're good. See, the thing is, like, it's easy for me because, as Chris will tell you, I have, like, this unnatural fear of milk. Put a glass of milk in front of me, and I'll, like, start to gag. I don't know if you watched Double or Nothing when they did the milk spot with Adam Page and Kenny Omega, and I had a – it was, like, the worst wrestling experience of my life watching that. I couldn't – I couldn't take it, but it was okay. It's so like milk just grosses me out. So I don't have a problem with kind of staying away from that kind of stuff. It's just like, ugh.
I gotcha. I don't actually drink like regular milk. I do drink like almond milk and cashew milk is my favorite, but I guess like a lot of the Greek yogurt obviously has real milk in it though. So.
What was that face, Greg? Nobody can see it. I guess, but
it's yogurt. Can we move on?
We can talk about key lime. We can talk about key lime pie. We can talk about carrot cake. We can talk about pecan pie.
Ooh, there you go.
More of my favorite desserts. What else? I got a bunch. I can keep going. Cereal. Breakfast cereal is like my absolute favorite thing in the world. So,
man. I'm a Frosted Flakes guy.
Really? I
love Frosted Flakes. Yep.
Oh, come on, man. Frosted Flakes is okay. I'm not saying it's bad. But there's some way better ones in my opinion. But the other day, because I was dieting again, just going back into this, like I had a day where I got the brown sugar and cinnamon Pop-Tart cereal.
Okay, interesting.
Oh my God, it's so good. I ended up like by the handfuls, I just kept eating it and I couldn't stop myself. I literally had to put the box up and walk out because it was so good. I just literally could not stop myself from eating it.
Oh man! See, this goes back to my milk fear.
Actually, you guys can see me, right?
Yep.
Okay, let me show you this. I can just give you an idea of how I am.
Dear Lord,
that's awesome.
I saw the Reese's Puffs back there.
Yep. There's like literally probably I don't even know 30 boxes of cereal in here.
Oh my God! See, that goes back to my fear of milk, though. Like when my wife and I first moved in together, like I had like dry Cheerios in a bowl and she thought it was like the weirdest thing. Wait a minute. She's like, so you don't put milk in it. She's like, I can understand that. She's like, but why don't you just eat it out of the box? And I'm like, cause I'm not an animal. Just eat it out of a bowl like a human being. I just I don't put milk in it. She thought that was like insane.
I can eat dry cereal too. I don't have to have milk.
Yeah. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Get the milk out of here.
I top it with a lot of. I actually use the cereal a lot to top things.
Nice.
Like I don't know. I'll put it in like protein oatmeal that I make. I'll put it on top just for a crunch or whatever, you know. And that way, I'm not eating like cups and cups of it. I'll literally do like half a serving sometimes, which is nothing, but it's enough to get the taste and you know.
You want
to
get crazy with it? Use the Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams is awesome. Did you see it? It was in there.
And use them as breading.
Oh yeah,
French on a toast meal day. Go with
you. Do it on French toast, man. That'd be good.
Absolutely, you could. What do you think of that one, Greg? Did that pass your test?
Yeah, I used to make one of the restaurants I worked at. We used to make like a crusted French toast like that. It was pretty bomb.
That's up my alley. Breakfast food, yeah. Combining things. That sounds good.
That's my dream, to own my own restaurant, my own breakfast lunch place, and just do breakfast all the time. That's like dream. Like, love it.
It's the best food. To me, like I could eat breakfast all day long. So like poached eggs, any kind of egg. I love eggs, so I'll eat any kind of egg dish, scrambled egg on toast. Then you give me some French toast, give me some cereal, give me some oatmeal, give me some pancakes, give me some waffles, any of that stuff. It's like home fries, like give it all to me.
I tell you what, there's a place I used to live down in Raleigh, and there's a place that's right off the campus of NC State called the Flying Biscuit. If I could teleport that place to New York right now, I'd be so happy.
Because,
like you know, like regular restaurants will give you like a basket of bread. They just they give you your own biscuit. With this apple jam, and it's like the best biscuits ever. And then like all of their meals are on biscuits or near a biscuit. They have Bloody Marys. Oh man, I go nuts there. I used to love going there.
Okay, well I'm in North Carolina a lot, so that might be something I'll look into.
Yeah, it's right off the campus of NC State, man. Like can't miss it. It's great.
I'll check that out.
See? building bridges. That's what we do here on this podcast.
Absolutely. I bet you've never talked breakfast cereal and other foods this long in a podcast before.
We're like 25 minutes in. We haven't talked about wrestling once. We're talking about sushi and breakfast. I know. Thank you.
The other wrestlers are not about it. Damn, they're not about this life. It's okay.
If we get off topic, usually we talk about like comic books or superheroes, and then Chris is lost.
I can talk about that too, but we don't. If that's been done that many times, stick with food. That sounds like way more interesting.
Yeah, we'll stick with food.
Food is more up my alley than comic books. I've been made fun of a lot over the last 2 weeks about my inability to read comics.
I never made fun of you.
No, our guests do.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, and that's okay. And they're allowed. What other predators? Because when you say predators, that to me, like, I immediately go wolves, grizzly bears, Kodiak bears. Where you go?
Or the predator?
Or the predator, Don Fry. I think that tigers are cool. Lions are okay, but I like tigers better. I don't know. Tigers are pretty cool. I like weird animals. Like hyenas to me are cool. You wouldn't necessarily classify them as a predator per se, I guess, but like they're pretty cool. Like certain snakes I really am into, because like snakes are pretty crazy, right? Because you think about like some of these snakes could kill you in like less than a minute. And that's a scary thought, which luckily we don't really have most of those here in the U.S., but just the thought of that, like going somewhere like Australia, and those are just out there, and like you could be walking through the woods or something, you know, and like you're looking at this dingo over here, and next thing you know, you get bit in the ankle, and now you're dead in like 30 seconds. So I don't know, like the whole thing intrigues me. So like I would always, like as a kid, and that's probably why, is my dad would watch, you know, like the National Geographic stuff, and so I'd be in there like kind of watching that with him. And so I've just always done that throughout the years. Just I'm into like the animal documentaries and stuff. So that interest has always been there. And yeah, so tigers are pretty cool to me. I like tigers. Call me the tiger. Don't call me the tiger. Let's see. That's taken. So
we had Ryan Davidson on, and he was talking about how he knew Joe Exotic, and that was we were dying laughing.
The Tiger King.
Tiger King, Carol Baskin.
Carol Baskin.
My wife just all the time just quotes that shit. I'm just like, all right, it was funny. I enjoyed it, but we don't need to quote it. So I have a funny snake story.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Excuse me. So I was a dean at the high school I work at, and I'm in the cafeteria for lunch duty, and I see this kid, and he's holding up like a worm, but it's holding its form. And I'm like, a worm would break in half and fall on the ground. Like, what the hell is in this kid's hand? I walk over, it's a fucking little snake. It's about this big. So I'm like, all right, you need to come up to my office. He comes up, I call his mom. Mom comes in, she's so apologetic. And she goes, are you going to suspend him? I'm like, yeah, he brought a snake to school. She goes, what if he has information about a kid who has a bigger snake in school? And I went, right now? And she's like, yep. So I go get the other kid class.
Can I stop you for a second? Can I stop you for a second? So the mom was literally trying to cut a deal, like on Law and Order.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you think that's bad? Wait till you hear this.
Dude, wow. So there's a 2.5-3 foot black and white snake wrapped around this kid's arm under his jacket. Here, I'm like, get that off my desk. I'm like, I don't want that anywhere near me. And the mom refused to take it. She really thought she was going to leave a snake in my office. I call up my boss to come up and, you know, because I can give the suspension letter. He has to suspend. And he goes, you look like you got this handled. I'll see you later. I was like, dude, you're scared of snakes too? Like, fuck. It was pretty awful.
That's a pretty out there story. I wasn't expecting that one at all. That kind of came out of nowhere, but that's awesome.
That or the negotiations that went into the snake.
Well, we have both parts of that.
I know, right?
I mean, the best part is I teach in the Bronx too. Like, that's the part that can't be left out of.
It's a concrete jungle, not a regular one.
Hey, but it's still a jungle.
I know, jungle out there.
But it's home. I love the Bronx. All right, so I guess 30 minutes in, we can go to a little wrestling talk. A
little bit.
All right.
Nah, fair enough. You twisted his arm.
If we got to.
You obviously took part in the Evolve special on the network. How was that experience different for you?
That was one of those things where, like, we didn't know about it right away. So it wasn't like we knew, like, 2 months ahead of time or anything. It was kind of like more one of those things where I think it was like maybe 2 weeks before they're like, hey, so this is happening. I'm like, oh, really? So I really didn't have time to, I guess, figure out how I felt about it going into it. It wasn't until like after the match happened and I realized what had happened. That literally the only time I've ever broken down in wrestling, and, you know, I shed tears of happiness because it was like one of those things where it was like, all right, well, that just happened. And people were going crazy over the match, and like, it's on the network. And even if I don't do anything else in wrestling, guess what? Nobody can take that from me. It's there forever. And it just, I don't know, it meant a lot. So, you know, I come to the back and like, my nose is all busted open because fucker hit me in the face. But, but yeah, so I lie down and, you know, people are coming over to me and they're clapping and like going crazy and stuff. And like, I'm sitting there like, you know, crying my eyes out, and they're like, are you, and then like Gabe's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no dude, I'm just happy, like I'm good, I'm just happy. And they were all excited, and it was really surreal, the whole experience, Paul Heyman being there, all that stuff. Like, it was weird. It was just it was almost like out of this world, where like you're so used to this little independent wrestling bubble that this big thing happens, and it's just like, oh wow, it's almost like you don't have time to adjust to it. And it's like afterwards you're like, oh wow, okay. So yeah, that's kind of how it was.
Hi guys, we're gonna pause the show right now, and we're gonna talk about the upcoming July 25th Garden State Invitational with Synergy Pro Wrestling. With me right now is the Windy City Kid, TJ Crawford, who is taking part in the inaugural Cruiserweight Crown Triple Threat match. TJ, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. You know, getting ready for the big crown matchup, trying to get my body right, get my mind right. So, yeah, I think things are going pretty well.
Talk to us a little bit about how important it is to you to win the inaugural crown.
I mean, ever since I was a kid, I've always been a fan of the Cruiserweight division in WWE and the X division in TNA. So I feel like being the first Cruiserweight crown holder at Synergy, it puts me at the top of the list of Cruiserweight competitors, not just in the Northeast, but in the entire independent scene. Synergy's really on its way up. Colin has built something great at Synergy, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And I'm just ready to take this crown and help take the company to new heights.
Talk to us a little bit about your opponent. You know, obviously, Casey Catal and Ellis Taylor. There's some respect and some animosity, clearly, from the promo cut on July 11th.
Look, I said it on 7-Eleven, on the 7-Eleven show, that I think Casey's the toughest person in the match. I think she's tougher than I am, just based off what I've seen her go through. And I've also known Casey since we started. We both started around the same time, at the same place. So I've known Casey for better part of 4 years now, and I've seen how much she's grown. I've seen how much she's worked to get to this spot. And it's an honor to be in the ring with her. I wish I could say the same for Ellis Taylor, but I can't, because that little douchebag's going to get his teeth knocked in.
That's what we like to hear. You know, you're definitely our pick to win this match. You know, we're excited to see it. I'm going to be there live. Can't wait to be there in person to support you. So, everybody, make sure you order the pay-per-view on Fight TV, July 25th. Synergy Pro Wrestling, the Garden State Invitational. You'll get to see TJ Crawford win that inaugural Cruiserweight crown.
Let's hope.
How is it working with Gabe? Because
I love Gabe.
Big ECW guys growing up, and I know he learned a lot from Paul.
Yeah, so I mean, I love Gabe. I know that he's a topic of discussion sometimes amongst, you know, others. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, you know, whatever. So I can only speak from my personal experience. And my personal experience is that, you know, Gabe has really, over the my course in Evolve, he really helped me a lot. He helped both Drake and I a lot, you know, helped us get better and be the best that we could be, honestly. And I'm not just saying that. I'm saying that because it's true. He took a lot of interest in Drake and I, and he helped mold us in a lot of ways. Was always very motivating to us, put us in the right spots, to do the right things with the right people, you know, to progress as much as we could. And he was always a motivator, always has been a motivator, always like, when we do something and we mess up, like, he's on us. But it's in a good way. It's almost like you would think like a football coach or something or whatever, you know. He was there to motivate us, let us know, hey, you did this. It was stupid. Why the hell did you do that? But this is what you need to fix. Things like that. So, and I can't really thank him enough for the opportunities he gave me. And like I said, like you just said, I was part of the WWE Network special because of him. So he's done great things for everybody on the roster that I could see. He's done nothing but try to be a major help in everybody's careers and get them to the next level. So my experience with Gabe has been awesome.
You won't hear a bad word out of us either with him. You know, I try to not take in the negativity of the wrestling community, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, kind of just realize that if people have negative interactions, there's probably a reason.
Yeah.
But everything we've heard about him is nothing but class act. What are some of your favorite experiences on the road?
So, food. So, I actually hate the road. I know some people really love it, love that lifestyle, but I'm one of the other guys. I'm one of those guys who hate it. I don't like it. I don't like traveling. It seems like it would be fun, but it's not. It maybe if I had the opportunity to, you know, stop and, you know, go see things and go experience stuff, it'd be cool. But really, you're just cramped up in a car or an airplane for hours on end, and you can't sleep well. You can't eat the way you want to eat, and so it's rough. But it's part of what we do. So obviously, you know, I know this going in, but I don't love it. But some of the funner experience I have had is when I have had the opportunity to, like, just go do things. And a lot of that has been with Drake, JD Drake, because I traveled with him a lot, obviously, before all this happened. And, you know, we would just go, and our favorite thing to do was go and get pho, like Vietnamese noodle soup. And we would just go everywhere we could possibly go and get pho, because we wanted to see, like, where it was, what it was like everywhere. And we probably made it to like 8 to 10 states, somewhere in that number, that range. So just experiencing with him is probably been the best experience that I had. We once did a loop where we went to LA and did a show, and then we had to be in St. Louis the next day, I think. And we had a show the day before, I think also in North Carolina. We did North Carolina, got on a plane, went to LA. However, on the way to LA, we had, you know, our stop, and during that stop, before we could get on our second flight, our connecting flight, well, these flights are all canceled. So we had to be at this show at, like, you know, 9 o'clock or something, and there's no way to get there. So finally, they did find us a flight, and it was to a different city. The promotion ended up having to pay an Uber to drive an hour to get us to the place. So we literally got there, like, I don't know, 8 something. Uber picked us up. We got to the show. After the show was like 3 matches in, literally went out there, did our match against the Gymnasty Boys, had that match, and then came back, changed, got back in the Uber, went to the airport, got on another flight to get to St. Louis for the next day. So that was pretty wild. That's an experience. But that was, I mean, sometimes, like, it's bad, but, like, I guess those are the more memorable experiences, and sometimes end up being kind of fun, you know, just because of the you're rushing everywhere, and it's just, you know, it's a story to tell.
Greg, we've heard a lot about the Gym Nasty Boys recently. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to have to try to get them on, too.
We should try and get them on, absolutely.
They're entertaining guys.
We interviewed Ellie and Blanco Loco. Mm-hmm. And they told the story about one of the Gym Nasty Boys stealing Blanco's mask, but hiding it in his gym bag. But they took pictures as if they had stolen it. And he went like a week without finding his mask, thinking that they had it.
And it was in his room the whole time.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great.
I was like, that's, you know, right up our alley. Clearly, we won't talk wrestling. We'll just talk pranks and silliness. What's the ultimate goal for you?
You know, man, I don't know at this point. So I had some experiences, you know, like we did the network special. I did a tryout with WWE. I pretty much thought that was the next step. And I'm not saying it's not still a possibility, but I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't even know what's going to happen with wrestling at this point, but I mean, I can tell you that I had reached a point near the end where I got really mentally drained, almost depressed, almost hating wrestling, or at least being a part of it and having to do it every weekend. And when I came home from the tryout, I ended up having to come home early because I got hurt during the tryout. Nothing major, but something that was, you know, bad enough to keep me out of it. But I came home disappointed, of course. Didn't know what I was, felt like a failure because I didn't make it through the whole thing. But then I came home and I was depressed. But during my stay home and being away from wrestling, I kind of realized, like, whoa, there's life outside of wrestling. It's crazy because, like, when you're in the world of professional wrestling, it tends to consume your whole life. And that's the same for like a lot of people. I feel like you get this almost obsessive compulsive attitude about it. Cause like you're on Twitter, you want to make sure everybody's talking about you. Like you're on your Instagram cause you want everybody talking about you and noticing you. And if you're not being talked about, then like this other guy's being talked about or whatever. And that's so important that you're always on wrestling. And if you're not on wrestling, if you're not on social media, looking yourself up, vanity searching or whatever, making sure that Twitter people are like your matches, then you're like, you're over here watching wrestling, you're studying, you're doing this, like it's your whole world. And so when I stepped outside of that bubble and I was at home with my family and like, yeah, I was just relieving. So I'm not saying I don't miss wrestling at all since this whole thing has kind of gone down. But I am saying I have a different outlook on things. And if professional wrestling doesn't end up being the end all for me, then I'm okay with it. I have degrees that I should be using anyway. I have my family and I have food. So I don't know. Obviously there's still things I want to do. I'm just not holding myself to any kind of certain standard. I just want to go out there, have fun when it comes back. And go have some good experiences, go have some good matches, and wrestle some good people. That's really the only goal right now.
So, but it's nice to hear because, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's hard with this whole, COVID thing and quarantine. And we've been fortunate because we've been able to interview a lot of people like yourself because, you know, like, nobody's doing anything. So it's nice to hear that it's been, you know, somewhat beneficial for you to, like, for your own personal mental health, I guess, to clear your head a little bit and kind of refocus what you're doing. I think that's great, man.
Yeah, and it's definitely done that for me. I feel better than I've felt in a long, long time. And certainly my body feels better.
Yeah. No, that's great.
You know, in a lot of ways, this is the first time in wrestling history that you guys have had an off season.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, for sure.
I'm a football guy. I've coached football for almost 20 years. Yes, it goes year round, but it's not every minute of every day.
Yeah.
But just hearing all of you guys talk about it, and look, it's enjoyable for us as fans, but I could see where consistently traveling gets to be tiring. you know, and especially because you have to be on because one fan gets you with the camera and you're not having a good day, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm the type of person who pushes myself really hard, and so I think I push myself too much, and you feel like you got to be busy all the time. And when I made it my full-time job, you know, which I did for like the last, I don't know, 2 years or maybe 2.5 years, you have certain pressures, and one of those is being busy because, again, you want to be seen by everybody and as many people as possible, because the more people to talk about you, the more valuable you are to various promotions across the U.S., and you don't want to be caught up in just one region. And then two, the pressure to make money, because if it is your only source of income, you want to be busy enough that you're making money. And so I would literally sometimes leave on a Wednesday, be gone all through the week through Sunday, come back on a Monday or something, and then I have 2 days at home, and then I'm gone again. And my daughter lives with me. She has since she was 2 years old. So, and then I have my wife, of course. And so definitely towards the end, like I said, it just got crazy. And it was this freaking vortex that I was stuck in of professional wrestling. And that's the dream. That's, you know, for every young wrestler, single wrestler, that's the dream. But when you have a family at home and you're not a single young single wrestler, it's a different story, I think. And I think more people would do well with realizing that, like, hey, there's a world outside of wrestling. Like, you see things happening, like all these guys getting fired from, you know, the Fed. Guys potentially not even wrestling anymore, like Leo Rush. He's like, but I think he also realized, like, yo, there's things outside of wrestling I can do. And you can't just say that, like, this is it. This is to have that tunnel vision and say, like, this is my only thing. If this doesn't happen for me, then I don't know what else there is, because that's just not a good way to be. I don't think mentally it's not healthy.
Definitely agree with that. Something you wrote on the survey for us really stood out. You said you want to have your body of work respected. Now, I know we're just a dime a dozen podcast, but to us, your work stands out, and it's fantastic, right? When I said you're one of the top East Coast indie wrestlers, I wasn't just saying it because it sounds right. You know, you're super talented, and hearing that this, you know, kind of grounded you in a lot of ways, I hope it gives you the opportunity to enjoy it a little bit more too, because, like, it's kind of sad to hear that, you know, it's not something that at all times is, you know, hearing that you don't like to travel, I get it. You know, I really do. Definitely want to see you continue to have success, because, you know, you got two fans in us for sure.
Well, I definitely appreciate that. Yeah, for me, like, just my style and things like that is probably, you know, tells the whole story. But, like, I always enjoyed the guys that were the work rate guys, I guess, Guerrero and Thou Who Shall Not Be Named But Will Be Named, Benoit, Kurt Angle. Like, those guys were always, Demolinko, those were always the guys that stood out for me, and it's who I wanted to be like. So when I actually became a professional wrestler, that's all I cared about, was, like, I just wanted people to watch my matches and be like, man, like, that was good. Like, that was a piece of art. Of course, later I realized at some point you do have a little bit of an attitude, a little bit of a personality, and a little bit of a character, at least something. You can't just be this bland guy out there just doing wrist locks and whatever. But yeah, that's always definitely been, like, the most important thing for me. So I definitely appreciate you guys saying that. And again, I'm not saying I'm done. I'm just saying, like, I just don't know where it's going to go. I did at one point say, hey, this might be my last year. I'm not holding myself to that, because obviously we're already halfway through the year. So we'll see what happens with it. But I do look forward to getting back out there and you know, getting in there with some other guys who want to go.
Absolutely. And if you get up north, you got to let us know so we can come and support.
Hell yeah.
For sure.
You know, we'll start wrapping it up. What else do you want the fans, you know, to know about you? You know, where can they follow you? How do they keep abreast of what's going on with you?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm on all the major forms of social media. I'm not as – I don't frequent it as much anymore, I guess, especially because of the whole thing with wrestling. I'm not into it as much anymore with the social media, but I am on there. So from time to time, you'll see me post something probably about food right now until wrestling starts up again. So Antony Henry, A-N-T-N-Y, Henry, is the handle at Twitter. It's also the handle at Instagram and probably also Facebook if I even still use that. Instagram and Twitter are the two major ones. So if you want to follow me and see what is going on in my life, especially Instagram these days, because I'll post a lot on my stories. So yeah, those will be the two places.
You know, we can't thank you enough for taking some time with us, Anthony. This has been one of our most fun conversations, near and dear to our hearts when we talk food.
Yeah, you guys did a great job of not making this mundane and just a typical, you know, podcast of, hey, how'd you get started in wrestling? Who trained you? Blah, 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 blah. Because you'd probably hear it in my voice that I wouldn't be too excited to answer those questions. So thank you guys for making it interesting.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. So you can follow us at DDP Archives on both Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me at Chris_DDPHSLB on Twitter. And we're going to keep bringing you amazing interviews with people from all over the country and, you know, soon enough all over the world. So, you know, keep listening and supporting. We appreciate all our fans. And we'll see you again soon in the Indie Lounge.